All right, welcome to the first ever Electron Injection Podcast. So what am I doing here? I don't know. I'm going to rant about electrical engineering type crap. I love to design circuit boards. Right now on my bench I have, among other things, I have a synth that's a damn disaster. The breadboard worked. The four-layer PCBs, I knocked it down from 11 different dev boards down to 7 four-layer boards. It had to be 7 mostly because of the size limitations at JLC PCB. JLC PCB, a little tip for you guys and gals. If you're 99 millimeters by 99 millimeters, you get that hyper bargain discount that only our Asian friends can provide. It's like $2 or whatever, $5, depending on stuff. The second you go over that 100 millimeter mark and go into 101 millimeter, they stick it to you. You might as well go to Osh Park or somewhere, you know, somewhere you trust or whatever you want to call it. I don't know. I guess you can trust JLC PCB. I've had good luck with them. I don't know. I'm still, you know, I've made a lot of boards through JLC, but I've not really ever used a fancy-pantsy Osh Park type place, so I don't know what I'm missing yet, but we'll see someday. So yeah, I'm just going to rant and rave about, I'll pick a topic, and I just slapped up a quick outline of things I want to cover in it, and then we'll just do it. And it'll be just me for now, because I have no friends. It's after COVID, I think I ditched all my freaking friends. But, so what's interesting, I think Dave Jones has said this, and I've heard it in many other podcasts too, where engineers have been social distancing, you know, their whole life or whatever, isolating. And I feel quite content here in my dungeon. I've got a nice setup for me to design my crap and make my toys. And I'm pretty content with that. And so this podcast is going to be mostly about electronic stuff, but just general making things. I like woodworking. I'd love to get a welder. I don't know anything about welding, but I know I need to. I've felt it like, Brandon, get a damn welder. Speaking of damn, I'm going to try to keep this PG-13. I have a potty mouth, and I love to use it, but I've decided just to back off. There might actually be people that listen to this that are, you know, younger or whatever. And if you guys want me to cuss, I don't mean to brag, but I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. Okay, so, yeah, just keep me posted. I do have another podcast, which is my Brandon Drury podcast, and that's more politics and me ranting about stuff that you guys probably don't care about at all. And I say all words I want to and words you don't want me to say, probably. Okay, so today, let's talk about the pros and cons of programming in the Arduino language. Now, if you open up the Arduino IDE, that white thing with the kind of the teal color deal, you get, it's sort of C, sort of C++. You're kind of in that ballpark. All the libraries are C++. The difference between C and C++ is kind of, it's object-oriented, the C++ variant. But other than that, you really don't, it's not like you're in a foreign land. If you can do C well, you look at the C++ stuff and you go, okay, well, that's not so bad. But you never really do C++ really either. You don't have to. They've simplified things quite a bit, which is great for what Arduino's intended to do. If you're some, I don't know, hear about these fashion people that want to stick an Arduino on their shirt somehow to make the thing blink or whatever. I can't really relate to that, but If you're an artist or, yeah, a fashion person or whatever, you're not overly concerned with timers and interrupts and things of that sort. And while you can do all those things in Arduino IDE as well, they've simplified things. And a lot of times, the time benefit for small production things is astronomical. Like things are just better. And if you're trying to get something done quick, it's kind of hard to beat the Arduino IDE for that. And the big thing is, libraries are freaking awesome. There's no need to reinvent the wheel. So I got this chip, the TM1640. It's, what is it? 8x16 LED array driver. I forgot what that is. I can't do math and speak clearly at the same time, like 128 or something like that, LEDs it can control, which is one single chip. Pretty awesome. Well, I can write that library if I want to, but if they already have one, and they do, then I can just jump in and use it. And why wouldn't I? It doesn't make any sense to not use that, unless it makes sense not to use that, which we'll get into here in a minute. But the good thing about these libraries is you kind of scratch the surface on a lot of things. So if you get a chip that you're, I don't know, off the top of my head, let's go back to that TM1640. It's got specific timing diagrams. If you look at the data sheet, the clock needs to do this. Another pin probably has to wiggle that, blah, 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 in relation to the clock. You got to get all that just right. And it's not overly complex to do that, but it is overly complex to do that if you have some other mission. And so I think that's what I like about Arduino so much, is if you have a mission, if your mission, like, well, right now I'm designing a synthesizer. If your mission is to design an automated lawnmower, well, you don't really care about, what is it, the price of tea in China. Like, there's all these irrelevant things that are made irrelevant because of the libraries. Now, the second the libraries don't meet your need, then you have a problem. And that comes up to my next topic. Libraries really suck. You never really understand how anything works. And the second you need to change something, you go, uh-oh. Probably one of the best things about trying to write your own library, though, is you realize how awesome it is to have libraries. So you start a library, and you think, okay, this will take me 4 hours. And then, you know, 3 weeks later, you're almost done, and it's buggy and junky, and you're like, damn. Like, a month ago, I was just using the libraries that other people made, and I could just push a button and have it, and it worked. So it's, you know, it's a catch-22. Speed. Now, this one's tricky. Especially if you stick with the ATmega 328P, which is the microcontroller on the Uno, the Arduino Uno, any code you write in the Arduino IDE is compromised. It's not as good. Not as good as in it's slow. And, you know, they've done some tests on this where they just turned a pin on, turned a pin off, and just ran a loop, and it's all they had. And, yeah, your microcontroller gets reduced to something that's like Atari level from, you know, the 80s or something. Maybe even worse than that. It's pretty bad. But but you can kind of solve that, at least get around that problem quite a bit now by using fancier boards. I don't recommend anyone use the Arduino Uno for anything. I started with it. The only thing I use it for is when I get a new chip, and I know there's an Arduino library, I'll just plug that chip into the Arduino just so I can toss the library, hit play, just to make sure the thing works. After that, I don't care at all. I have no use for the Uno for any real project. Of course, if you buy the real ones, you know, they're like $30. If you get the Chinese clones, then you can get them for like $5 or $6. But you can get the same functionality with like the Arduino Mini Pro. I was big on that for a while. I used that a whole lot. And then here recently, I guess the past year, I found the STM32 Blue Pill, which is just, we'll get into that into another podcast, but it's just superior in almost every way. And it's running, I think, 6 times faster or something than Arduino Uno. So if you're going that fast, you can overcome quite a bit of the code limitations. Now, it's not efficient. You know, that STM32 is burning through inefficient code in order to go fast, but you can usually get around it for most projects most of the time. Now, if your need is absolute speed, making crazy noises, my belly, the Arduino platform is not the way. Then you do need to move up to embedded C and go bare metal or whatever. But for most people, that's not a problem. Most people are doing hobby stuff. And most of the time, you only really benefit from that hyper speed if you're mass producing a product. Otherwise, it's not as big a deal. Okay, so now debugging. I guess I should define debugging first. Debugging is very similar to when you hit a Control-M in Arduino IDE, the arrow, the compile and upload button. But it compiles a special way when you're in debugging, where you have complete control of your code, and you can make your microcontroller stop and start anywhere you want using something called breakpoints. So you have a line of code where just before that, you want to see the valuable of a variable, X. Then you put the little breakpoint right there, and then whenever the code runs and finally hits that breakpoint, it just slams on the brakes. And then you're able to see all the values of all the registers and variables and all that sort of thing. And you're probably used to using serial print in Arduino to kind of check the values of things. And this I find to be a different way of working, but on a good day, it's absolutely superior and 100% faster, maybe faster than that. You know, your mileage will vary on that, but now that debugging is impossible as far as I know in the Arduino IDE. They just don't do it. And why, I'm not really sure, because
I think it's the bootloader on the Arduino Uno that's the problem, because you can debug with other AVR, well, that same microcontroller, the AT328P. So I don't know why they don't have it exactly. There's probably some details to look into, but I know with other microcontrollers, or even using that same ATmega328P in something like Platform IO, which is a different IDE, just software that lets you program, that allows you to step through your code and keep an eye on variables. And often it's the only way to find things, particularly if your microcontroller is flying through something so quick that you get bombarded and your serial monitor just gets overloaded. Well, it's often much easier if it can just stop. So for me, the debugging was such a big deal that I did switch to Platform IO. And don't get me wrong, Platform IO is not perfect, and I do cuss it from time to time, but it's a very, very powerful tool. It's more configuring it and actually handling all the options is actually the problem. So if you're serious about this and you want to take your, I guess, save a lot of time in debugging, then I definitely recommend Platform IO as an option. Look into it. I use it with VS Code on Windows, by the way. All right, so then there's code size. So when you compile your file, you wrote your code, whenever you use Arduino, you will get enormous files relative if you did embedded C. And I used to use Atmel Studio using the same ATmega328P chip, and I couldn't believe how much smaller the file size was. Like something just like Blinky, like the basic bottom Arduino sketch, I guess they call it, uses a large quantity of resources, and it makes large file sizes. Why? I don't really know. But of course, if you just increase the size of your code a little bit in the Arduino, it doesn't seem to really change much. It almost seems like you got to eat this huge file size from the very beginning. And once you get all your base, I guess, code in there, then it doesn't seem to be too taxing after that. I don't know. I need to play with that, but I'm probably talking out my booty here. But with like embedded C, like I said, with Atmel Studio, it was shocking how small the file sizes were. Like, whoa, I could fit code that was, you know, enormously larger than I could have done on the platform on the Arduino IDE. Now, I got all excited because I got an STM32, and they had their embedded C IDE, which is the STM32 Cube IDE. And I couldn't, when I first compiled it, I was kind of scratching my head. I was like, this is basically the same size as Arduino. They have their HAL, H-A-L, hardware abstraction layer, and they're kind of doing a lot of their Arduino stuff. So even though you have to do all that work to still, you know, using registers and all the embedded C stuff, you have to go through that trouble. Can't use libraries anymore, but now you still have large code, and using large code is, that's a problem because you can never get around it. And see, that's something I probably should have mentioned during talking about the speed. With Arduino, if there's a function that's really, really, really slow, like digital write is really, really slow, well, go ahead and Google digital write fast, all one word, that function. They have options. And not only do they have options that you can find, I guess another library maybe, you can always just inject your own code. So if you know you want to flip a register, you can do that with basically straight up C, C++. I've seen people use assembly in their code. I don't know how they're human. Who are these assembly people? Try that once. You'll never do it again. It's horrible. But I see the value in that too. So the Arduino IDE is really cool in that way that you can, if you have a really slow function that they've put in and that's hurting you, well, you can just write your own and you can write it the old-fashioned way where it should be really fast. It should be. But then as far as code goes, I don't think there's any way around having really large code file sizes. I don't know. If there's a way to do it, then let me know somehow. So I guess the way I see it with the Arduino platform in general, if you're handy with embedded C or assembly, if you got Platform IO or and you choose hardware correctly that allows you to debug, well, you can pretty much work around all the limitations of the Arduino programming environment, or I should say the Arduino language. I don't know if that's the right way to call it, but I think it's fair. Arduino C, maybe Arduino C++. I don't know, but I think you can work around pretty much all of those. Now, if you're going to do mass production, then I think pure C makes a lot more sense. But until it's worth hiring a pro programmer to spend 6 months on your project, then it's probably just better just to stick with the IDE, like the Arduino IDE, and fly through the the coding and in a matter of minutes. So I am a fan of the Arduino language. I think it's very useful. I'm using it on my synth now, even though I've done some stuff with embedded C. It's just it's so handy to have that backup of libraries. In particular, when you get into stuff like USB, if you have, I have USB in the future plan for the synth, and you kind of have to nowadays. And I've heard so many horror stories of people trying to implement USB through embedded C, and it sounds like it's an absolute disaster. And you hear these stories about the manual being 3,000 pages and nothing making sense, and da 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 da. And it's like, it'd be nice if I could just push a button and have that. And so I ended up writing a lot of my own. I did write my own library to control the synth, and I wrote that in C++. And so it doesn't feel like that different when I switch to the library to the Arduino code. So I think the Arduino code's a great place to start, maybe a great place to finish, I guess. Again, only high volume doesn't make sense. Low volume, I don't know. I'm really happy with Arduino IDE, or Arduino language, I should say. Not their IDE, because I switched. But all right, so that's enough ranting today. This is a good first one. We'll see. Again, I'm calling this thing Electron Injection Podcast. That's my company that I will have a number of products coming out, including my synth, which may be a kit, may be a full-blown thing. I told you I put 11 dev boards. I think it was. I'll show a picture. I'll put it on Twitter or something if you guys are interested. You can follow me on Twitter at Brandon Drury. Just one word, I think. Maybe I should check that. What is my damn Twitter handle? All right, hang on, dudes. This is a... podcasts a lot of times have a low bar. Brandon _ Drury. I'm glad I did that. Take that, professionalism. But yeah, if hit me up on Twitter or whatever. And of course, I'm on YouTube and all kinds of other stuff. I'm around. But the point of the Electron Injection was I have these, right now, 11 different dev boards that I made through GLC PCB. And I'm like, other people might want to have these too. Like I mentioned, the TM1640, which is that LED driver that can drive 128 LEDs. It's I2C, so two wires, data and clock, assuming you've already powered it, of course. 128 LEDs with just two wires is pretty freaking awesome. And I found that incredibly useful for my synth. Well, I've made a dev board for it. And the same thing with encoders. I hate having to deal with encoders because then you got to You either debounce them in software, debounce them in hardware. There's just a lot going on. And it's just better to have all that out of the way so I can just grab the board, hook it up, again, I2C, two wires, done. Toss on a library, and I'm off to programming again. So, Electron Injection, I'll be adding all kinds of different kits and stuff. So you keep an eye out for that. I don't know. I'm not going to push them too hard. We'll see what happens. All right, I think I'm babbling now, and I think that's good enough. All right, I'll see you guys next week.